It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Macy's announced the closure of their downtown Pittsburgh store yesterday, surprising many residents and setting the stage for a discussion on the future of the large brick-and-mortar retailers in the city. Before yesterday's announcement, Macy's, which had once been home to Kaufman's department store, had already been gradually cutting back their selling space. Today, it's being called the end of an era. I'm joined now by phone by Pittsburgh Business Times reporter Tim Schooley. Tim Schooley, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
And we'd like to hear from you. What are your memories of shopping at Macy's iconic downtown location? What does the closing of this store mean for you and your family? Call us at 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Share your memories of Macy's and Kaufman's before that with us. We'd like to hear about your family memories as well as what this means to you. How does this impact your shopping, particularly if you're someone who lives or works near the downtown area? Tim Schooley, there is a Macy's at the waterfront, a Macy's at Monroeville Mall, a Macy's at South Hills Village, a Macy's at Pittsburgh Mills. What difference does it make that this Macy's is closing, and does it really come as a surprise?
The one thing that surprises me somewhat is that there was another Macy's you failed to mention was at Century 3 Mall.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
That store is only about 6 miles from the store at the waterfront. So it was striking to me that that store would stay before the downtown store would, at a time when there's ample signs of downtown Pittsburgh rejuvenating. So that was one thing that caught me by surprise. And I guess I wasn't entirely expecting the downtown store to close, but I can't say I'm shocked either.
Well, all right, but why shouldn't we be shocked? You're saying that there was another store that would have made more sense to close. And, I mean, there are people that use the downtown Macy's that like to go down there, not only at Christmas time, but year-round. It is a place where people who live or who work near downtown or live in that area, they can run in, they can buy something that they might need on their lunch hour or after work. I did that, in fact, last week at 6 at night, went in there and bought a belt in the men's department, which is preferable for me to running to the mall. So is the mall now supposed to be the answer to all our shopping needs?
I think for the larger scale retailers, it increasingly is, but there is opportunity to reestablish downtown retailing. It's just figuring out how to best to do it when the big stores are so dependent on people getting there by car. That's obviously a challenge with the downtown store when people are not as willing to pay to park.
Right, and is there the demand though for downtown shopping? Is there the demand for a big department store, a destination department store? Where people will want to shop during the holidays, maybe, you know, run in during the summertime and take advantage of sales, that kind of thing.
Well, that's the question: is how much demand is there? I mean, that was that building is 1.2 million square feet. The store itself had reduced down to 475,000 square feet, and the stores that Macy does in the suburbs are still generally half that size. So it was probably always a challenge for Macy's to right size that store downtown and run that building in any way that's profitable, given how old it is and how old the systems are. I'm sure there was a lot of expense in maintaining that property.
How many, at its height, let's say when Kaufman's was really going strong in maybe in, say, the early post-war, World War II years, how many floors did they have? You know, what all were they selling? How many people were working there?
I'm not entirely sure about that, but I mean, because they had offices in that building as well, but it wasn't that long ago that they were selling furniture up on the 10th and 11th floor of that building. So that building was scaled up and expanded based on the demand that store saw. So, I mean, the size of it is in some sense a testament to the retail demand that was there at one time.
What has changed?
What has changed is, and it's the, in general for stores of that scale, it's just the suburban nature of chain retail today. That doesn't mean there isn't an urban market. That doesn't mean the urban retail possibilities aren't growing again. It just seems like Macy's didn't want to figure out how to best capitalize on that market again, even though that is the roots of department stores is in downtown.
Is that the case, or is it that the big old-fashioned downtown department stores have simply outlived their usefulness? You quoted Jeremy Waltrip of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership as saying, we have 113,000 people working down here every day, and I don't think Macy's was meeting a lot of their demands. Is he right about that?
I think there's a lot of truth in that. What you're also seeing is a different customer base with young people, maybe not as inclined, maybe not as likely to have grown up with those kinds of department store traditions of the windows and all that, maybe more likely to buy things online. So there's a need for a kind of a new generation approach for downtown retail, and it'll be interesting to see how that works as things go forward.
We're talking with Tim Schooley. He is a reporter for the Pittsburgh Business Times, talking about the closing of Macy's downtown. If you have a comment or question, would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Let's go to David in Pittsburgh, who wants to join the conversation. Hi, David. You're on with Tim Schooley. David, apparently we don't have David. All right. We'll go back to Tim. When you talk about, as you were just before I did the reset there, about how the approach needs to be modernized, how do you do that? What are the retailers thinking they might want to do? What are people like yourself who study these issues think that the retailers need to do?
Well, there's a very changing dynamic with retail in just the need for overall space, with people buying online more and more, or at least searching online. It really cuts down on the amount of floor space any retailer needs in a store. So the logic of having huge stores of that scale is completely kind of thrown out the window with that. How you actually engage people to get them to go into the store and make it a destination, that's kind of an ongoing challenge, and it's interesting to watch retailers deal with that.
Well, online is convenient. It is certainly the modern way to shop. But, I mean, aren't there a lot of people who, even if you're a young person, you don't know how something is going to fit. Things have sizes, but, a 44 in one kind of suit could be different than a 44 in a different type of suit. A certain type of shoe, if it's a 10.5, is going to fit differently than a 10.5 made by another shoemaker. So isn't there something to wanting to go into a store and try things on anymore?
Oh, of course, particularly with clothing, that's probably where physical presence is most needed. But how that translates into an urban department store is an interesting question.
What does a closure like this mean for downtown retail in general?
Well, one thing that strikes me is that it chops a fair amount of overall space available for retail shopping dramatically. I mean, within the last 15 years, we've seen four department store close, and this will take, that store is 475,000 square feet. They're talking about leasing two floors of the building for retail once Macy's leaves. So that'll be 160,000 square feet. That's more than 300,000 square feet of retail eliminated. So there's less and less places available to lease retail in downtown as what might have been stores in the past have converted to different uses.
So what else will go into that space?
Well, that will be interesting to see. They're obviously going to try to lease to fashion retailers. They're going to try and, they mentioned the grocery store. They mentioned different tech and electronics retailers. They didn't name any names yet, but it sounds like they're going to try and establish a mix of different merchandise that would, come close to being what a department store might have once offered.
We hear Tim Schooley, people say that, you know, the mall is the way to go. It's where people want to go to shop because, you know, you don't have just one store, but you have all these different stores and eateries that and movies that satisfy people's needs. But David on Twitter asks an interesting question. He says, is not downtown Pittsburgh the mall for inner city residents, as traditional malls are not easily accessible to us city folk? And that's, again, David asking that question on Twitter.
He's absolutely right. And, you know, I shopped in that store myself. And there is opportunity for somebody who wants to do retail in and around the city's core. I mean, that was I'm sure that was the first store of choice for a large number of residents in the city.
How does this development help redefine what downtown will look like in the future? I mean, so much of the activity, you know, downtown on Smithfield anyway, you know, it was Kaufman's, it was the Clock, all that stuff going on. Now, I mean, presumably the Clock will still be there, and I'm going to ask about that later. But, you know, that's a huge hole there. So, you know, you're talking about what will go in to replace it. But, you know, what about just the sort of the changing atmosphere of downtown and what downtown means to people in the 21st century?
Well, again, it depends. I mean, obviously, the developer is very confident that they'll be able to lease all the apartments that they're going to put in there. There's going to be a new hotel. So it's not like the hole within the building itself will last for long. The broader question will be what kind of retailers will help kind of reestablish vitality along that stretch with places for people to shop. So, but you're right. I mean, if that store's gone, obviously the former Lord and Taylor next door, it's now not of any open use for the public since it's owned by PNC as one of its operations. It definitely takes a large public space out of the downtown, which will be hard to replace in terms of its scale.
Let's take a couple of phone calls here at 412-246-2002. People wanting to weigh in on the issue of Macy's closing with Tim Schooley, who's Pittsburgh Business Times reporter, joining us by phone. Let's go first to Phil from Pittsburgh. Phil, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hello, Phil.
Enjoy it.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, how are you? Love the show.
Thank you.
I just want to say I think it's a great opportunity for some retail to come into the downtown corridor of different levels. You know, it seems like that everything that in the downtown retail is either very, very high-end stores or very, very low-end discount stores. So if there's a mid-level store that could come in, that would be a nice niche to fill. And also, I think that there's a great opportunity to, and I hope the developer does this, to look and see how other cities do their downtown development, maybe different types of retail on the first several floors. They talked about a hotel or residences, you know, maybe some restaurants. That would be a great anchor for the downtown area. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and I'll listen to you to comment on it.
Okay, well, thank you, Phil. And you know, what about Phil's point? And Tim, what would qualify as like an in between a high end store and some of the lower end discount stores that might fill that void there?
Well, that raises an interesting point that's exactly the kind of mid-tier retailer of which you could argue that Macy's is among. Those are the retailers that are often struggling, that the mid-tier price point stores are often kind of stuck in the middle as society as a whole kind of goes to kind of lower price or upper price. So those are there are less and less opportunities to find those kind of stores. There are opportunities to bring in different kinds of like fast fashion retailers such as H&M and Zara, folks like that aren't in downtown. And one interesting thing that should be helpful to core, there's very limited opportunity to lease that amount of retail space anywhere else in the downtown right now. So if somebody wants to be in downtown and wants to be among some other good co-tenants, that may be the only option. That may be the most appealing option because it's still a great location. So it may not be a matter of that retail space sitting empty. It's be a matter of the right mix and the right quality of retailer to go in there.
Let's go to Paula in Pittsburgh, who has a comment. Paula, hi, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I just moved back here from Cincinnati, and one of the points that you guys are overlooking is that parking is outrageously high in downtown Pittsburgh. I used to live in Shadyside back in the day, and I used to shop downtown all the time, and parking was accessible, cheap. Parking is 25 cents for 3 minutes, or if you park in the parking garage, it's $4 to $5 an hour. I think that has a lot to do with stopping people from shopping downtown. And that they should consider validating. In Cincinnati, a lot of the downtown stores are busy, but they do validate your parking.
Well, Paula, you raise a good point. Parking is expensive downtown, and there are not a lot of spaces down there. As you know, Tim, it's kind of a pain in the you-know-what.
Oh, I don't think that'll never not be an issue in downtown Pittsburgh, especially as residential and the office market continue to do well. It's always going to be a huge challenge for downtown Pittsburgh. I guess the other component of that I always wonder is if we had more comprehensive public transit service into downtown, that would help as well. Because I just think there's always going to be limited opportunities to build parking downtown, just given how the nature and the scale of downtown Pittsburgh is. Not a lot of space to work in downtown Pittsburgh.
Right, so you end up in a parking garage, and as Paula said, her experience in Cincinnati, she said that a lot of the downtown retailers will validate, or there's some kind of an arrangement with the city where your parking can be validated. Is that something that would help alleviate some of that problem for people? Because, $4 to $5 an hour is not cheap.
I know that the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership has more promoted different periods during the holidays that parking is free or reduced. I guess I wonder how much can be done to alleviate that when you're talking about supporting a store as big as that Macy's was. The city could do more. It's obviously, when you're talking about building garages, that's a very expensive proposition for a city that often struggles to have the money to repave its roads, let alone add parking.
Let's go to David in Pittsburgh. David, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking my call. As a retailer in over 20 years in this business and also working in the downtown area retail for a very long time, I can tell you that the closure of these department stores are a direct result of not only the economic crisis, but also the changing nature of retail itself. With the addition of the internet sales, changing shopping habits, all of that. It is not one answer that is the direct closing of these stores. It is a multifaceted answer why these brands are leaving. Saks Fifth Avenue, Lord & Taylor, Macy's now. It is a multi-answers why these businesses are leaving. And my suggestion is that if the city would like to attract more retailers, that they answer that in order to establish a more business-savvy downtown answer. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, David. He's a self-described veteran of downtown retail sales, and he's saying that there are a number of factors. I'm sure this is something that you've looked at, Tim. What about the combination of things that David mentioned?
Oh, I mean, he said nothing that I would disagree with. I think he was right on. There's a lot of complicated issues that kind of feed into this subject, certainly.
One of the things that people get really attached to is the Kaufman's clock that's still down there. So one of the first questions that's come up is about the clock and what will happen to it. What are you hearing, Tim?
Well, I attended the planning meeting that the building developer presented their plan for, and they have every intention of maintaining the kind of the historic bones of that building, including the clock. It would make no sense for them to get rid of that clock, and they're going to seek historic tax credits to redevelop the property. So, I mean, that will require them to maintain the kind of the historic the great historic quality of that property. So, people worried about the clock. I don't know that that's something that there's reason to be concerned about.
Well, you can imagine why people right away, it's like, oh, no, the first thing they think of is, what about the clock? Because that is sort of that that destination point for so many people over the years. We have an email, Tim, from Gene in Pittsburgh, who says, with current and projected increases in residential units downtown, do you think that the decision is premature? Also, would you care to comment on the lack of support for downtown retail? For example, every year on Black Friday, local news media report on traffic to local malls, but never mention downtown.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, I think what happens is it's easier for, you know, television news to track how busy malls are because you can just look at the parking lots and see all those cars. You don't have a visual representation of a busy downtown department store in quite the same way. I'm not sure what else. What was the rest of the question?
Let me go back to it. It was Gene who sent this email to us. And it was actually before his comment about the news coverage tending to gravitate toward the malls. He says that with current and projected increases in residential units downtown, do you think that the decision is premature? And he's basing this on just this idea that the city is encouraging more and more people to move downtown, and that is in fact happening. So does it seem odd that a department store would be closing at the very same time that people are moving down there to take up residence?
I think there is something to be said for that line of thinking. That the downtown overall is historically strong with its, in terms of its office market, in terms of its residential population, and I think there was an opportunity for Macy's to kind of recalibrate and say, hey, we've got these assets that are maybe underlooked that they should have paid more attention to than they did, that could be restored. I mean, obviously the roots of a store like Macy's and Coppins before it were in the downtown. And as population returns to downtown, yes, I think there was an opportunity missed. Is there enough residential population yet to fully support that store by itself beyond the people who come into work? I don't know. I guess that's a more immediate question.
And I guess as we wrap this up, the question I would ask would be that, you know, with Macy's closing, they're all gone now. All the, you know, there used to be Horns and as you mentioned, Saks and
Lazarus
and now
Lord & Taylor.
Exactly. All of those, Kaufman's and now Macy's. So is downtown maybe now the place where we go to eat and to be entertained? Possibly even to live, but not shop? Is it just not going to happen anymore?
Well, you know, for the immediate future, that would appear to be the case. Although, you know, the trend in retail development, it seems like there's an awful lot of restaurant growth without stores to follow it. And that's a trend that's not just happening downtown. I see that a lot elsewhere as well. But in general, that would seem to be the case. I'm sure there will be some more retail in downtown at some point. We'll just have to see what it becomes.
Tim Schooley is a reporter for the Pittsburgh Business Times, joining us by phone to talk about yesterday's announcement that Macy's is closing. Tim Schooley, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, 100 years after its founding here, the VFW is holding its national convention in the city where it first got its name. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.